Excitement University's campus was one huge construction and demolition site. There were cranes and temporary wire mesh fences everywhere. Many of the oldest buildings were freshly torn down, including the main lecture theatre where Grafton had spent many a short hour. As his taxi circled the campus, Grafton discovered that almost all of his old university haunts were now in rubble, including the staff club. "We're not replacing them," said Kurt Skinner, the Vice-Chancellor's 2IC. "We're actually getting rid of them. For good. Gone. Lights out. Show over. It's an essential part of the Krieg plan." "I've never heard of the Krieg plan," said Grafton. "And I try to keep across every questionable education-related initiative." "It's not a government initiative," replied Skinner. "It's a vision for the future of the university. It's a doorway to the education of tomorrow. It's huge. The Vice-Chancellor has appointed me to the newly created position of DVC-PVC, Deputy Vice-Chancellor for all pro-Vice-Chancellors. My job is to bring the vision to life. I've already assigned 40 PVCs just to the implementation phase." 40? How many are there in total? 60 at this stage, but when the transformation is complete, we're looking at possibly 100. Although, you can never be really certain. What do they all do? They're an integral part of the plan. The Vice-Chancellor believes it's time to flatten the university hierarchy. Basically, get rid of all the fat that's built up over time between the PVC level and the students. "You mean lecturers and tutors?" said Grafton. "We're really the first university in Australia to fully commit to the concept of the flipped classroom. There's never been a more exciting time to be in education." "I know," said Grafton. "It's written on your T-shirt." "The flip model reverses the traditional teaching structure. We allow students to gain exposure to new material outside of the lecture theatre environment through online videos, blogs and other content-rich platforms. Lecture time, if required, is then an opportunity to assimilate that knowledge through problem-solving strategies and debates." Grafton was led into a large open-plan work area. The room was crammed with desks and computer terminals, but little else. "This area is for interface staff, lecturers and tutors. There's no more siloing of disciplines. Everyone is in here together," explained DVC Skinner. "And to ensure the walls stay down, we've instituted a hot desking policy. At the end of every day, staff are required to clear their desks of all personal items. Then on the next shift, they have all the excitement of choosing a new desk in a new part of the room. It keeps people agile and on a creative edge. Every new day is a new desk, a new environment, a new experience, and a new opportunity." "So all the pro-vice-chancellors are bunked in here as well," said Grafton. "Oh, no. They have different needs. Believe me, many of them were bitterly disappointed they couldn't go with the open-plan hot desk design model. But unfortunately, for reasons of commercial confidence, it just wasn't practical. They now have individual offices in a new purpose-built facility overlooking the giant artificial lake. They have lots of meetings, as you can imagine, and confidentiality is crucial. Anyway, the VC is very excited to see you again. She told me that herself. So, hey, let me take you down there now." She has the top floor above the PVCs. "And who else is on that level?" asked Grafton. "No one, just her." Skinner led the way down to the lake house via the Vice-Chancellor's sculpture garden. It was a tranquil scene, despite the rumbling of heavy machinery in the background. "Yes, unfortunately, we had to start bulldozing the lecture theatres to show the staff we were serious," said Vice-Chancellor Carly Krieg, as she gave Grafton a tour of her expansive new office cum penthouse apartment. "It's not the way anyone would want it, but staff are so resistant to change. Sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind." Krieg's office was truly massive. It reminded Grafton more of a high-end art gallery than a university workspace. "This is really too big for me," she said, running her hand along the rise of a bespoke leather chair crafted by an Italian designer. "I would have preferred something more modest. But we're a world-leading institution, and foreign visitors expect a bit of bling when they come to visit me. Sorry about the confusion the other day. What my PA really meant to say was that I wouldn't be able to take your call just for that afternoon." Krieg smiled disingenuously. "I had back-to-back meetings, and there was a major administrative crisis here on campus." "And the old lecture theatres you've bulldozed aren't being replaced?" asked Grafton, as he watched a game of swans glide on the artificial lake below. "Better off without them," said Krieg. "They don't fit the paradigm for a university of the future. Students are our clients, Grafton. They're the customers for the educational products we have to sell. They haven't got time for the kind of physical commitment that the traditional university structure imposed on them. That's why we've opted for the flip approach. which basically reverses and revolutionises the education experience. We provide the pedagogical side of the course online, and then the students can access as much or as little as they want in the form of personal interaction. We're here to provide them with some human interactive engagement when they determine they need it. "What's the failure rate?" asked Grafton. "There is no failure rate," said Carly Krieg. "It's not about whether a student passes or fails or what they get out of it. It's about meeting their pre-purchased expectations. Only they know what's best, what's truly important for them. They're the ones, Grafton, buying the product, after all. And they're not paying us good money to tell them what they need to improve. That way of educational thinking belongs in another era. Let me get you some champagne."